Welcome back to the Kapow Hour. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey.
And we are the Kapows.
The Kapows. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to your peach white claw.
Drinky, drinky. We both just made the same noise.
We spend way too much time together.
Way too much time. Working from home, making a baby from home, taking care of the baby from home.
Making the baby from home.
Hey-o. Just in case anyone was wondering where it happened.
Here we are again.
What's up? Yeah. Have we even acknowledged our new podcast room?
I mean, I mentioned it in the first one back, but like you breezed right over it. You just wanted to talk about the birth story.
Yeah.
So. I tried to throw something in and she's just like, nope, that's not what we're talking about.
Not on the agenda. Yeah. Because a second ago you were like, man, I'm really happy with how this room turned out.
Yeah.
This she shed, the shish shed, the sheed, the shoffice, the shodcast studio. We had a tough shed come put in and we turned it into a secondary office that I thought I was going to be using more of. But hilariously now, my computer has been set up at our dining room table because it's closer to the nursery. We have a friend helping us watch her and I just like seeing her between naps. Well, hilariously, we thought because we both worked from home that we would be able to watch her in between stuff. That like napping, if she just would nap in her crib.
If she would just go to sleep.
Because she naps, but she wants to be held during her naps.
Yeah. Very naively of us that we could work full-time and take care of a baby.
Well, because we work from home, we can...
Yeah, just alternate.
Alternate.
No.
The surprising part is how much I want to see Quinn. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be stuck out here in my office all day.
So instead, you're going to stick me out here in this office all day.
Yeah. Do you even see her during the day?
Yeah, I pop in there.
I pop in. So I asked everyone on my Instagram what they wanted to hear about. And here were kind of the most common suggestions or questions. Hardest thing to do with a newborn. So actually, Are we talking about that? Are we?
I just answered the question.
You were not talking about
that. I just answered the question.
Okay, great. I hope you're watching this on video and not just in your ears. Moving on. So I actually just did something for the first time with her 2 days ago.
You're going to admit this?
I don't know. We'll see. So basically, right before we do a carrier nap, carrier nap, if you're not familiar, there's baby carriers that you strap to your body and you wear the baby.
Quinn loves this.
Loves it. Most babies love it, I think.
Yeah.
But she's decided that's the only way she wants to sleep is being attached to us. And it's supposed to give you the opportunity to be hands-free, mm-hmm. right? So you're not just holding your baby to sleep. They're attached to you. You can get stuff done. Who's getting stuff done? Who?
I mean, I am. I stand and work. I go on the treadmill. Oh. That's it.
Okay. But it's not like you can't get other things. You can't like get housework done or.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
No, you can't because she would wake up. You have to stand very still, usually in darkness.
Yeah.
Okay. So 2 days ago, I had the duty.
You can see where this story's going.
It was my turn to do a carrier nap. And so it was in the morning and I had my coffee and I swear it's like, something always happens when she's attached, when she's in the carrier and she's dead asleep. Right. And I'm like, oh no. Cause sometimes I'll be like rocking her to sleep. We're going to do a nap in the snow, which is her bassinet. Sometimes if we want to do a bassinet, cause she'll sleep in the bassinet for like 30 minutes. But if we want a longer nap, then we do carrier naps. And so if I'm doing a bassinet nap, I have to like rock her to sleep in my arms. And sometimes it takes like putting her down two or three times before she's like really asleep. And I swear if I do it in the morning, I'll put her down, she'll wake up and so I'll pick her back up. And then like, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to, and I have to be like, Sean, and I have to like put her down in the bassinet and be like, she's not asleep, but I need you to come get her. Cause I gotta go to the bathroom. Well, 2 days ago that version happened, but while she was in the carrier and she'd only been asleep for like 15 minutes. And I was like, it's not worth it. It's not worth getting Sean to take her, waking her back up. And so I was like, this is either going to happen in my pants or I take her with me.
Yeah. And congratulations. You now have your parent card.
Have you done it? You did it already? You went to the bathroom with her in a carrier. It's really hard.
Multiple times.
Multiple?
A long time ago. Your first night out. I can't remember where you went. And I texted my group chat with Mike and Chris. And I was like, Lauren's out for girls' night. And I got to go, but I don't want to wake her up. And I was like, is tonight the night? And they didn't respond. And then like 5 minutes later, I texted them. I was like, tonight's the night. And I sent them a photo of my shoes.
Gross.
I put a towel over her head.
Oh, that was nice. I just kept the light off. I just did it in darkness.
So yeah, I've done it two other times.
Oh my God.
Because nap time is so precious. Yeah. And you don't want to wake her up. You don't want to ruin it. So you do what you got to do.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. It's making me uncomfortable.
I can't believe you're admitting this on the internet.
I can't believe you've done it more than once.
Next question.
Oh, so it is comical, like expectations of what you think you'll do or won't do, right, as a parent. And then when you have the baby and you're like, oh, I will do anything to make her go to sleep, mm-hmm. you know, so like pacifiers, we were like, let's not do pacifiers. We don't want it to be a crutch.
Right. We don't want to have any bad habits.
And
blah, blah, blah.
It's like, oh, pacifiers are pretty great.
Yeah.
Let's give her the pacifier and deal with the problem later.
Yeah.
The other thing is like the lengths we will go to get her down for a nap.
Mm-hmm.
It is a process. I actually made a TikTok about this and
the internet does not understand.
So I made this video where I was like, I don't understand why anyone thinks it's hard to get a newborn down. All you have to do is, you know, you want to keep the room dark. So get blackout shades, but you need some light because you don't want to confuse their circadian rhythm. So it needs to like be dark, but also they need to understand daylight versus nighttime. Swaddle them.
But not too tight
because you don't want to mess up their hips. You know, you don't want them to have hip problems. Okay. The temperature needs to be like around 72, not too hot, but not too cold. You want a sound machine, but the sound machine needs to be like 5 to 7 feet away, and it can't be more than like 50 decibels because you don't want them to have hearing loss or hearing damage. Get a shusher, which is like a little sound machine. So we have three sound machines going. One is the white noise, and it's on the dresser. The other is a shusher, which is a human recording of someone shushing. Are you falling asleep yet? And then this new also has its noise. And then you want to bounce her to lure her into a false sense of security. You go to put her down, but you have to like sway her as you're putting her down because when she hits the snoo, she needs the motion to pick right back up. It's just like this long, extensive list. Yeah. And it's like, okay, then once she's down,
you list 150 things out.
Yeah, tiptoe out of the room. And so the internet, of course, has the attention span of a flea. Myself included. And all they hear is this woman saying
it's easy to put a newborn down.
I don't know why anyone says it's so hard to get a newborn down. All you have to do is, and then literally hundreds of comments, wait till she's a toddler. Wait till the 4 month sleep regression. You think that's easy? And I'm like, oh no. What have I done? What have I done? Like
maybe
satire,
I don't want, maybe
sarcasm.
I don't want to be on the internet anymore.
Maybe I don't. I quit. So anyway, that was my first experience with like pissing off the moms because they just didn't watch soon long enough to realize it was a satire that like this
subtlety,
is not easy.
Subtlety is a lost art.
But anyway, so yeah, the lengths we will go to get her down.
Yeah.
And then you never really realize how much noise your body makes until you're trying to get a baby to go to sleep.
Until your ankle is cracking.
So loud. Why are my ankles suddenly like pop, like stovetop popcorn?
Oh man. And just like the things I knock over. I was like, I don't knock things over, but I'm trying to get her down. Man, I knock things over.
Yeah. Swallowing stuff is so loud.
Yeah.
The saliva going down my throat is like magnified right in her ear. Apple Watch kept going off.
Oh, so annoying. Well, it's also like a self-perpetuating problem, right? Because we have notifications for the camera on the bassinet. So as I'm trying to put her down to sleep, the camera registers my arms.
It's like a and motion.
Then, yeah, notifies me that there's motion on it. I'm like, I'm the motion. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
But then she wakes up because she hears my watch. So I'm like,
also, this goes back to something we discussed in depth in season one. You have far too many group texts.
I get a lot of notifications. That's a problem.
Yeah. When so, you're trying to put her down.
Like while we're doing a podcast, we put it on silent.
Sure we do.
You're asking for someone to text you right now?
No, I didn't put on silent because what if the baby needs us? She'll text me. Anyway, so this idea that like, oh, whatever, we'll get her to go to sleep. She will adapt to us. We will not adapt to her. And now I'm like, I will do whatever she needs me to get her to go to sleep and to stay asleep.
Yeah. I feel like we're like mad scientists with all the things that you try and do and walk and shush and say and sing and
or all. Being like beholden to her schedule, of which she doesn't really have a schedule, but like thinking we're not going to be one of those parents who can't leave the house. Mm-hmm. At will. And now it's like, oh no, we have this 2-hour window. And if it's not within then,
right.
We're not doing it.
Cause like the littlest disruption just like
throws the whole day off.
Yeah, exactly. So I get it now. I admit that I judged my friends with kids earlier in my life. And now I understand.
Godric, how does Godric feel about Quinn? So everybody, you know, you think the dogs are supposed to have this beautiful, magical moment meeting the baby for this first time. Not Godric. He's still unsure about her.
Well, like not in a bad way. Like he, you know, some people have to worry about their dogs being aggressive towards children. Right? Like he is not that at all, but he is very much just like, what is this thing and why is it making so much noise?
Why is it so loud?
Yeah.
Why is it screaming at me?
Every now and then though, he like 2 days ago in bed, remember she made a noise and he like popped up and like went over to her. And so like we saw some instincts in him that
like protective.
Yeah. Protective instincts. But normally it's like she starts crying and he like looks at us and then he just leaves.
Bolts. He's like, I am out.
I did not sign up for this.
Later.
Yeah.
The first, like bringing her home, we had been gone for 2 days. So it wasn't, he didn't even really notice the baby we had. He was just happy to see us. Mm-hmm. And I think he's still not sure, like, what is this thing? For the longest time, I don't think he realized the thing we were holding moved.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it moves and he's like,
oh. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, have you been there the whole time?
Yeah.
But he's been pretty like indifferent. He's a little bit more now that she makes noises, he's more interested in her. But and you know, he tries every time he walks by her, if she's in her bouncer or something, her swing, he wants to like sneak a lick in. Mm-hmm.
So like he's on the floor right now of the podcast and I think he's pretty happy that it's just us three
and she's not here.
He's like, this is how the family used to be. Yeah.
What's it like having first baby in our 30s asked by someone who is 30 with no prospects?
Well, being in my 30s is just such a fun time in my life. I'm 41. Wow. So we've talked about this a little bit, like having a child later in life has made things a lot easier in a lot of ways. Like we're more financially secure. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of the things that we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so
we got to enjoy our money and our relationship
before. Right. We were married for 8 years before we had a kid. So we traveled, we've done all the things. So like, I think we were both at a point where we finally were like, okay, yeah, now we want to do this.
But I also think we should keep traveling.
Yeah, of course. Not that that stops, but emotionally and like my mindset about things, I was like, I'm ready for this. Mm-hmm. I think the downside is the older you are,
the more sore we are.
Like, yeah. So holding the baby for bouncing endlessly. Yeah. But it's like the less energy you have to deal with the baby. So it's like you have in your 20s, you know, you can bounce back from things. Having it in our 30s, you know.
Us 30-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little harder from that perspective. So,
but I think the financial stability certainly outweighs the back instability.
Yeah.
Bone, joint, muscle instability.
I was just watching an interview of Seth Rogen about him and his wife who don't have kids. And he talked about like so many people just have kids in their early 20s because that's what like they think they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they don't ever like ask themselves like, is this a choice that I actually want to make? Hmm. And I think for us, this was a choice that we wanted to make.
Yeah.
And that feels pretty good. You know, previous episodes, I'm talking about how hard it was for me. And at one point you're like, why did you even have a kid? I'm like, I don't know. But I can like, you know, look back and be like, yeah, this is the choice we wanted. Mm-hmm. And I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. I honestly was like, people said, oh, you'll know when you're ready to have a kid. Oh, you'll just, your ovaries will start exploding. Like you'll just look at babies. You'll get baby fever. You'll just suddenly feel a type of way. And that never happened to me at all. I've looked at babies and was just like, yeah, there it is. That's a baby right there. I see it. Mm-hmm. Never got baby fever. Never felt like my ovaries were exploding. Maybe when I looked at puppies.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, I need to have a baby because I'm getting too old. It's going to be a lot harder the longer I wait. And so to me, it was an age. It was like, well, I want to try to have it by this time so that I can still have a baby. Not that I'm necessarily interested in having a baby. But now that I have Quinn, I am like, oh, I don't know. I never felt like I was far enough in my career. I always felt like, well, if I'm pregnant, then I have to stop for 9 months. You know, if my career is literally about drinking, I can't. Babies don't fit into that. Yeah, I have to take a step back. And I remember when we first started trying or thinking about trying, I kept pushing. Remember? I wanted to push it because something, a video would go viral and I would get, I got like an interview request or something. And I'm like, Sean, my career is like blowing up. This is not the time for me to be sober. And you were like, that's just going to keep happening. You could push this, you could keep pushing this, but there's always going to be a reason. There's always going to be a reason to push it, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's never going to stop. So I was a little bit more hesitant to start because it just felt like I hadn't accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish, but I'm never going to feel like I have. But now that I have her, I'm like, now my ovaries are exploding, you know, like that sign that you're ready to have a kid. Now I feel ready.
I think it is funny. I still don't think of myself as someone who has a kid. Like I see a video about like dinks, dual income, no kids. I'm like, yeah, us dinks. Oh crap. I have a kid. Yeah. But
she's expensive.
Yeah. But I think we still sort of like have that mindset a little bit.
I think because she's a baby and she needs us. A toddler's a little more independent. And then once they're at school, there's more responsibility in a different way. Right now, it feels like we have this little craft project.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe once she starts crawling.
I think the other piece is like you hinted at, like there's no good time to have a baby, right? Like it's this huge life disruption. It's like there's never a good time for that. But we both wanted kids. The idea of having a family later in life makes sense. And it's like to have a family later in life, you have to start the family earlier in life.
That is how that works.
Yeah.
Who changes the most diapers?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Who pushed her out of the strawberry?
Out of the kitten.
The kitty.
The kitty. Yeah, for the first month, I changed every single diaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's more even.
Yeah. Honestly, she's so cute on the changing table. She loves having her diaper changed.
Yeah, it's such a...
It's a nice little moment to have with her.
Like half the time, like you're sitting there waiting for me to bring her back in, and I'm just like playing with her on the changing table. Mm-hmm. Yeah, diapers just sort of whatever.
First meal after giving birth was a mistake. For the first meal, the last meal before birth and the first meal after birth, both mistakes. I really wanted sushi, as most people do. And I think there was this trend on TikTok. I don't know what was going on, but all these people decided that they should order sushi to the hospital and make a video about it. And so in my head, I was like, oh, sure, hospital sushi. I should eat.
That sounds good.
I should eat sushi after delivery. And then, I don't know, we ordered it from a place that wasn't that great. It also just felt so oddly unsanitary eating sushi in that room.
They also didn't send chopsticks.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
That was pretty anticlimactic and sad.
Which also just, we've made this point a few times, but like there's so many things about pregnancy. It's like, oh, you can't eat sushi. And it's like, it's not that you can't eat sushi. You can't eat. Crappy.
You shouldn't eat things that'll give you food poisoning.
Yeah, whether or not you're pregnant. Right. In Japan, they don't stop eating sushi, but they know that the sushi that they eat is high quality and you're not getting food poisoning. So that's the whole thing. It's if you're higher likely to get food poisoning from that thing, then you shouldn't eat it.
Whether or not that's,
So it's not food specific. Yeah. It's just the higher risk of food poisoning.
I tried to eat sushi while I was pregnant and I got judged. Remember?
Yeah.
We went to this place that's walking distance from us. We love it.
And you weren't even going to have sushi. You were going to have the cook stuff.
Right. And there we were waiting in line outside to be seated. And this woman comes out. I don't know if she's drunk or just a biatch. But she comes out and like...
Under her breath
very loudly. Oh, I didn't know they let pregnant people eat sushi. I was like... Huh? And then I like zipped my jacket up a little more. It's like, all right, I guess I can't come eat sushi in public. I can't go to a sushi restaurant in public this pregnant or people are going to assume that I'm eating sushi, even though I wasn't. Okay, yeah. So first meal after birth was a regret. And what was my first drink I thought was going to be this big celebratory moment. But like I haven't slept, you know, I've barely slept. I'm exhausted. The last thing I really wanted was booze for several days.
Yeah. I mean, in the hospital, I kept asking him, like, oh, do you want to have a drink? And you're like, no.
I packed White Claws.
Right.
And then even, our six suitcases. Even
the night that we decided to have a White Claw, like, you opened it and had like a sip or two and then didn't drink any of it.
I didn't want it. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, that's how it's been for the last like 3 months. Like, you've
barely
had some alcohol, but not really.
I think part of it is the breastfeeding, right? So
even though you know that you can safely.
Sure. The studies now and the recommendations now are that there's very, very, very little alcohol that gets transferred to breast milk. If you're drinking moderately, you would have to have a lot of drinks
in a short period of time.
For it to actually register in the breast milk. And also, it's not like once it's in the breast milk, it doesn't stay. It filters out the same way it filters into your blood. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that aside, it was more like, is this affecting my milk supply? Which we've talked about how like paranoid I was about drinking and supply issues. But now that I'm such a lightweight, all I want is like a glass of wine. And then I'm like, I am happily buzzed. I don't need more, because that's the thing about being buzzed. Biggest mistake a lot of people make when they're drinking is they're constantly trying to chase that buzz, mm-hmm. and you never get it again. You're buzzed and then you're blackout.
Is that how that works?
That's my 20s.
Okay. You're buzzed and then you're blackout.
And then it's tomorrow. Yeah. It's the easiest it's ever been to drink in moderation, to drink less. Yeah.
Pour myself a whiskey most days at 5 p.m. But it's like, I have a whiskey, maybe have a beer or something. But then it's like, yeah, I know we're going to bed early and I need to be up early.
Yeah, that's the thing, is waking up early. I had one girl's night out. I barely drank. I've gone to dinner with a friend, still barely drank, and wanted to be home early because I know I still have to wake up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Neither of us has had a night out where it's like, oh, we're just going out without any consequences.
I don't know that we ever will again. We never will. There will always be consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to have to be some sort of scenario where we're like, okay, look, you can go out, have a good time, stay out late. You're going to be hungover tomorrow. So I will do the morning shift, sleep in, and then next weekend we'll trade and you can do the other one. But right now we do everything together.
Right. We have a wedding in May. My parents are coming to Hawaii with us. Maybe by then we'll have figured that out.
We'll figure out how to, I don't even want to be hungover. The fear of the hangover is great. and it's not like I'm going to be any more hungover than I was prior to having a kid. I'm going to be just as hungover as I've ever been, but now I'm scared of it because now I have a baby. Although a baby would be a great distraction from a hangover. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I don't think my drinking taste buds haven't really changed. Wine is just great. To me, I guess most people don't know this because they think that I just drink seltzers all day, every day. But really, I'm a wine girl. The idea of White Claw to me is a party beverage or a beverage I order at a bar because I don't want to have a beer and I hate vodka sodas. But I used to order vodka sodas all the time because they were low calorie, no sugar added. And that was just what I wanted to order at a bar. And then White Claws came out and I haven't ordered a disgusting vodka soda since. Mm-hmm. So, but like drinking at home or drinking with dinner at a restaurant.
Not having a White Claw.
No, I'm not having a White Claw. Yeah. I'm having a White Claw right now only because our podcast studio is in our backyard and it stares right at our outdoor beverage fridge that it's been stocked with White Claws all summer. And I've had to look at them all this last year. And I just really decided that I should have one.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'm a wine girly. I love red wine. And also red wine gets you buzzed like real quick. And it's nice.
Also over Christmas, you were drinking Christmas beers with me.
Yeah.
That was a weird phase.
Yeah, it was weird. But also those were like, I would have half and be like, I'm done. Why did I choose this?
Right.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
First night out after Quinn. You actually got to have the first night out, didn't you? Yeah.
Guys' night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she was just about a month old.
Yeah. So every year, our friends in San Diego, all the guys go out to a dinner together and have a night out. And that happened to be like right at Quinn's like 4 week old period. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And then we're like, yeah, we can try it. And actually, it wasn't that bad.
You had it was terrifying. You invited Alex over. So your idea was like, have Alex come over, which is a girlfriend of mine. Her hubby was going to be at guys night anyway.
Yeah.
And because the idea at 4 weeks of doing this alone, of changing her, getting her ready to breastfeed, she has no neck control. Like everything with the baby is hard. And also I'm just like, the way we, you and I handled her crying was very different. I'm like, I want her to cry never. I want like a zero sum. Like I will do whatever it takes to make sure she does not cry at all.
And I was like, hey, she's going to cry all the time. And so I can't be reacting.
But I was like, when, you know, so for getting ready to breastfeed her or feed her a bottle, you would put her down for a sec so you could get into position. And I would be like, no, because you put her down, she's going to cry. I need to keep her happy while still trying to get ready to breastfeed her. And so I'm like, how do I do that without another person handing her to me? And I still like don't want her to cry ever. But my friend came over, even though you were only out, you were gone for like 2.5 hours. But back then she was napping, eating, and it required another set of hands. And so she helped me, like she made the formula. That was the other thing. Like I couldn't make a formula bottle while holding her. 'Cause she had no neck support, you know, like, and I didn't know how to one hand hold her. Oh man.
It's kind of funny though. Like for as hard of a time as I had in the first month or two, like with the situation, you leaving me with her was never a challenge for me. I mean, obviously it's all challenging, but I was like, yes, go. I'll handle it. Like go to girls' night, go do it. Like that was not daunting to me.
Yeah. Which like, is funny because I was afraid to leave her with you so that you wouldn't get like,
yeah, but like, the, and like on a macro level, it was overwhelming to me. But like the idea of being with her for a night by myself didn't scare me at all. Was not, you know, and still I'm always like, hey, go. You're like, hey, someone invited me out to dinner. I'm like, go do it. Like that to me, I'm like, I can handle that. I don't know why there's such a disconnect. Like, yeah. I'm like, I can handle the individual nights.
It's almost without like,
any problem, but it was like the larger thing. It was just sort of like snowballing for me.
Yes. Your first night out was scarier than my first night out. Scarier for me. My first night with her without you, I guess is how we should frame that.
Yeah.
Even though I had help, I couldn't have done it at that early. Like, yes, now that I'm a veteran, like I could easily handle her for a night, but at 4 weeks, new mom, definitely needed another set of hands. Okay. What about the differences in parenting? So like mom and dad's approach, just like how gentle I am with her and how rough you are with her.
Well, I think you hit on a good point. You're like, I want zero crying. And I'm like, the baby's going to cry. She's going
to
cry.
She doesn't have to.
But like in a situation where I'm trying to get ready to feed her, she's going to cry most likely. And if I put her down on the bed next to me while I'm getting ready to feed, yes, she's going to cry for 10 seconds.
No, but that's rough. Fresh. I think you're more rough just in how you handle her too.
Yeah. And I think that's for me. And I was actually talking to Alex about this. I'm like, the things that you need to do to get your baby to sleep or burp or whatever, a lot of times it's like just a little bit more than what you're initially comfortable with. So like burping the baby, right? Remember burping the baby early on? You were just like, you were like, and I'm like, Lauren, you actually have to touch her to burp her.
No, I will. You were like
blowing on her back. You're like,
be the what is it? The spirit of burp be gone.
Yeah. And like, Even just like rocking the baby when you're trying to get her to go to sleep, right? Like,
no, like I would bounce her.
Yeah, but not now, but like early
you
on.
You were bouncing her. But that's the thing. You just bounce her like she's like flopping her head all around.
No, that's yes, not you true. Did. I always had my hand behind her head.
No, you didn't.
I would never flop her without her head being supported.
I think, yeah, just the idea of how rough, maybe when you think you're being gentle and what I think gentle means is very different.
I'm going to have a tough daughter.
She's going to have a concussion.
No, no. I constantly had to remind you that like, I want this baby to be alive just as much as you do. And I want this baby to be healthy just as much as you do. And you still don't believe it. Look at your face.
I believe it. I guess I'm so much more delicate.
I know, but like, look at
even giving her a bath.
Look at where you started and look at where you are now. And the things that you're doing now, you would have been terrified.
Don't
to
you
do.
Think you're a little more gentle with her too?
Yeah, ooh. maybe we're like bringing each other to the center a okay. little bit.
Okay. It also helps that she has neck control now.
I feel like I'm bringing you more to the center than you are to me.
Wrong. Or you're just doing it to please me, and I'll take.
I'm not trying to hurt our daughter. I'm not trying to.
I don't think you're trying, but I think you don't think about it the way that I do.
Baby's been surviving for thousands of years.
And some are smarter than others. And is it because their dad killed their brain cells?
No.
How do you feel our social lives have changed or are going to change?
What social lives?
Sorry, what's that word? Could you use it in a sentence?
Yeah. I think we're doing okay. You know, it's funny, we talked about early on, like, I don't know what my expectations were. I didn't expect to like be hanging out with people. So like, I knew our lives were going to be, you know, you're basically a shut in for however long you need to be. So that wasn't that much of a surprise to me. We're trying to get there. Like, we go out on the weekends. I think putting her in situations that we want her to, like, you know, normalize in. So like
me, you mean putting me in
situations? Yes. And Lauren needs to be in social situations around people.
Yeah, that's been the hurdle for me, is this anxiety that I have of doing all these things for the first time.
Yeah, and you're like, I don't want to be seen in public with the baby crying.
Right.
And I'm like, babies cry. Well, that's the...
Yeah. There's part of it is like, oh, that means I'm not effective parent. But also part of it is that draws attention. I don't like drawing attention to myself when I'm not looking
confident.
You talk about like doing stand-up comedy versus filming in public or wearing an outfit that draws attention. That's not like stand-up comedy is a performance that I have rehearsed, that I want the attention on me for this performance. And so a baby crying is like, everyone's looking at you, even though no one's looking at you, but it feels like everyone's looking and everyone's being annoyed or like, or I'm inconveniencing other people. That's part of it too. It's just like feeling like, oh, this is annoying everyone around me. But I read a thing online that was like, you're never going to stop having anxiety by avoiding the thing. Like, you're going to stop having it by doing the thing, and then it gets easier.
Yeah. And then even further with that, like when you're, I mean, remember trying to like get Godric to be good at restaurants, and it's like
trying to get me good at restaurants,
trying to get Lauren good at restaurants. But the dog trainer was like, why would you expect that a dog would know how to behave at a restaurant if he's never been at a restaurant? And it's like same thing with babies. Like, why would we expect that she's really good in her, you know, carrier or
car seat,
in the car seat, if we never put her in a car seat for an extended period of time? Or like, why would we expect her to be good on walks when she doesn't go on walks very often? So you just have to do it. And eventually or you learn how to behave at a restaurant.
It's not that she's a baby, so she's not behaving. Right. There is no behaving at a restaurant. Right. It's more
like normalizing it.
Normalizing being with a baby at a restaurant. So being
comfortable. It is you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is all about me and my anxiety of like getting more used to, okay, if she cries, here's how I handle it. If she needs to eat, you know, here's how we feed her in public. Here's if we have to change her. You've now changed her in a changing room. I've not done that. It's so silly to think like the first time you do that is stressful for me. And now you've done it twice. But all of those things that I've never done give me anxiety. It's just thinking about, because I'm such a like, well, what if this happens? What are we going to do? And I think about that constantly and it paralyzes me. And so I think me going out to these restaurants with her helps me get more comfortable being with her in social situations. Mm-hmm. And it's getting more comfortable with her crying in front of strangers. Cause it's like, there's the anxiety of wanting your baby not to cry. And then there's the added anxiety of
people judging,
wondering if people are thinking about you and judging you and watching you and talking shit about you, which the one thing is that I need to kind of like keep reminding myself is like, nobody is thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you said some earlier, like, I never notice babies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's like, you 5 years ago never noticed babies. Right. So most people are not noticing babies.
Right. And like, I know flying with her is going to be immensely stressful. So number one, I want to get a Xanax prescription. joking, but not. Number two, I want to rip that Band-Aid off and do it and not do it, because then it's going to be too late. She's going to be worse on an airplane.
Right, earlier you start babies on everything, or the earlier you start moms on
Lauren things. On everything. Yeah. 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 I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm. You are. Absolutely.
But I'm very impressed. Yeah. Like, I want to do it more so that I get more comfortable. But it did make me feel better. You know, I'll post a story like, oh, I left the house. You know, I only checked the baby monitor once. And then I get flooded with messages that are like, that's amazing. I didn't leave for like 6 months. I still don't feel comfortable leaving. Like, I feel not alone in this crazy anxiety, self-imposed, you know. It seems like a lot of women are afraid to either leave the house with their baby or leave their baby at their house. Anyway. All right. Well.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, I was ready to answer more questions.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the whiskey's hitting.
Oh, okay. Guys, if you have more questions for us, feel free to send us a message on Instagram. There is a Kapower Hour Instagram. Haven't checked that in a hot minute, but I promise I will. Or leave a comment if you're watching this on YouTube. We check those comments too. If there's more you want to hear about, let us know.
Yeah, I think we're at a really interesting point in our lives where we've done content in one way, and now, mm-hmm. especially you, are like,
yeah, figuring out where I the content really goes. I don't know where
it's going to go. And yeah, we're interested to hear ideas.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we'll just keep talking about the things that I think are interesting to us and mm-hmm. excite us. All right. We are kapout of drinks.
Oh, can I have another one?
You can. All right.
Okay. We're kapout.
That's it. Hit stop. It.